Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Maybe when you write a national bestseller, you'll get your own sports show. Until then, this is The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
You know, if you listen to this show enough, you know that I became a real big fan of Bud Selig, baseball commissioner. The more I got to know him, the more I got to work with him or deal with him in issues such as the Montreal Expos relocation and that. There was a lot more to the man than I think a lot of people suspected. I'm a real big fan of the man who's replacing him, Rob Manfred. Not only do I think it was the right choice to replace Bud Selig, quite frankly, I think it was the only logical choice to replace Bud Selig as commissioner. We're very pleased at this time to be joined by the commissioner, Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred. Rob, thank you so much for doing this morning.
Hey, Jeff, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to the start of regular season baseball. I think a lot of people in this city are. Hey Rob, I wanted to ask you, with the Blue Jays going to Montreal for a couple of exhibition games, and I think they're expecting close to 75 or 80,000 people there, and the Rays, Tampa Bay Rays, pursuit of a new stadium hitting kind of a roadblock on Monday, I got to ask you the obligatory Montreal baseball question out of the gate. Are you open to return to that city? And more to the point, I found it interesting that in a published interview yesterday, you suggested you more or less need to see a firm commitment to a stadium, not necessarily shovels in the ground. I found that interesting.
Well, let me take various pieces. Let's leave the Rays situation
sure
to one side, because it really is an independent variable, and I haven't even had a chance to talk to Stu this morning about the latest developments, Stu Sternberg. With respect to Montreal, look, I think it's good for baseball to have cities that want to have a major league team. The fact that there once was a club in Montreal, I don't see as any sort of an impediment to a club relocating, or in the event that we ever get to expansion, Montreal being considered as an expansion candidate. I mean, we have a long history of replacing teams that have been lost. It, you know, happened in Washington, happened in Milwaukee. I mean, it's happened a variety of places. And with respect to positioning itself, given how significant the stadium issue was when the Expos left, I think that it would not be unreasonable for baseball to want to see a very firm plan as to how a major league quality facility could be built, how it was going to be financed, a plan that people had committed to. But I don't necessarily think it's fair to think that a city's going to go out and build a facility without some sort of commitment that there's going to be a team there. So I'm trying to take a reasonable position, Jeff, is the way I characterize it, okay?
It sounds reasonable to me. Rob Manfred is Commissioner of Major League Baseball. He joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Rob, local TV revenues, new stadiums, and quite frankly, kind of a lucky run of some pretty strong big market teams. Those are the things that kind of grew this game in the past 15 years or so, along, of course, with labor piece. Where do you think future revenue growth and future growth is going to come from?
When I think about the future, I always start with competitive balance. I think over the long haul, the key to the growth of the game is competitive balance in all our 30 markets. Remember, some of our biggest upside really is in our smaller markets, mm-hmm. and the key to grasping that upside is making sure that those markets can compete. I think you saw last fall, what a small market team like Kansas City can do for us when it gets on a run. I mean, I think people really were captivated by the prospect of Kansas City's run, and I think it's a great example of how the game can grow.
Commissioner, there's been a lot of talk about pace of play, obviously, and how much of the experimentation we're seeing and dialogue we're hearing is aimed at sending a message to players and umpires. You know, in other words, hey guys, speed the game up in your own by adhering to the rules, or we'll do it for you by instituting pitch clocks and the like.
Well, I don't. I'm not a one to send do this or else sort of messages. I have been out talking to the players, and I prefer the message that pace of game is an issue that came from the bottom up. That is, our fans. We're talking to our clubs, and our clubs were talking to us about the pace of game issue. And I, kind of prefer the positive approach that it's important for the commissioner's office, the owners, the clubs, and the players to be responsive to what fans want to see in the game. So I go at it from a little more positive direction.
Conversation with Rob Manfred, commissioner of Major League Baseball. Rob, how concerned are you about the impact of the falling Canadian dollar and the Blue Jays? And has there been any suggestion of revisiting the Canadian Equalization Fund that Bud Selig had? I'm going to describe it as Canadian Equalization Fund. Forgive me, I don't know what the official title was. But has there been any talk of reinstituting that?
We have not had conversations with the Blue Jays about the currency situation. The commissioner used his discretionary fund for a number of years to try to alleviate the burden created by a weak Canadian dollar. Obviously that's a topic that I would be open to discussing, but frankly, it's not become an issue so far.
And speaking of the Blue Jays, a couple of questions. What's your relationship like with Paul Beeston? And I've got to ask you, since it's been, I think, 24 years since Toronto hosted an All-Star game, when can we expect to see the game return to the Rogers Centre? And I mean, I'll ask you, I'll be blunt, Rob, do the Blue Jays need to overhaul the place, including putting in a grass field, to make that All-Star game happen?
Well, you got a couple there. Let me try them one at a time.
Sure.
I came to work for Major League Baseball when Paul was the president, largely because he was here. We've been friends a long time. I respect his right to have different opinions than I do on everything, including me. We're friends and we'll remain friends, and colleagues. We've always worked well together. In terms of an All-Star game, look, it is a very competitive All-Star game environment right now. We have lots and lots of teams that are interested in having a game, that largely due to the fact that we've made it into such a great event. Who gets a game is really a product of who submits the most competitive bid for the game. I don't think for example, whether you're on artificial turf or grass, given that it's only one game, would be a huge factor in that decision-making process.
So when you talk about competitive bids, what would differentiate bids?
It's really business issues, the availability of, adequate convention space for the fan fest, availability of hotel rooms, support from the local community in terms of volunteers, those sorts of issues.
What's the state of labor relations in the game right now, Rob? And how different are they from when you came into the game? And are there any flashpoints we should be concerned about as we approach the next round of negotiations, which I believe are the end of this season?
And no, it's the end of the 16.
Sorry, 16. Correct. Yeah,
we have 15 and 16.
Okay.
excuse me. Look, our labor relations have been transformed since I came here in 1998. I mean, we still had the hangover of the 94 strike. It was an entirely different leadership at that point in time. As a matter of fact, we're now in our second iteration since that time. And I think there's been a massive improvement in the quality of our labor relations. Every collective bargaining round, is a risk. But I think we have the kind of relationship with the MLBPA that we'll be able to address the issues in the game and keep the game on the field for the benefit of the fans.
Commissioner, it was great of you to join us today. Thanks so much.
All right. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and I bet you I talked to you again before too long. Okay?
I think that'll happen. Take care, Rob.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
That's Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Major League Baseball, and we appreciate the commissioner joining us in our exclusive interview. And like I said, I've got a ton of time for Rob Manfred as commissioner. I think he's going to do a terrific job. I think he was, like I said, not only the right choice, it was quite frankly the only choice for commissioner. I know that Paul Beeston was part of a group that group of owners. I shouldn't say owners, a group of baseball executives that felt otherwise. But I just think given the run of labor peace we've seen in baseball, I like the fact that the guy who's been largely responsible for that, a guy with, I think, a pretty good ear for what fans want, a pretty good ear for how you deal with the media, social media, how you deal with those issues in this current day and age. I think it's really good to have a guy like that in place. And as I said, I think Rob Manfred's just about the perfect guy for that job. The Toronto Blue Jays have set their roster. The Toronto Blue Jays have set their roster today, as expected. Just to give you a bit of a rundown here. Josh Tholey, Jeff Francis, Dion Viciado, Caleb Gendel, Jonathan Diaz. All cut by the Blue Jays today. All cut by the Blue Jays today. And probably no great surprise, I would think. Our understanding is Ryan Goen's status depends on how the bullpen will shake out. And it'll be up to John Gibbons to make that decision. There's been a lot of talk about going with an 8-man bullpen, which for a lot of us who watch baseball for a long time is one of those things that just kind of causes us to raise our eyebrows. There's been a lot of talk about going with an 8-man bullpen, and if that's the case, that will have an impact on Ryan Goen's. And personally, if it's me, I'm going with the 7-man bullpen. I'm taking Ryan Goen's. But obviously, it's John Gibbons and Alex Anthopoulos who will make the decision. We'll have Alex Anthopoulos, Senior Vice President of Baseball Operations with the Blue Jays. We will have him on our show at 11:35. He'll join us, and we'll go over the roster with Alex. And then we'll ask him the question. I guess the flash point was the possibility of Josh Tholey coming along as a third catcher. Look, John Gibbons, the manager of the Blue Jays, was very clear on this show with myself and Stephen Brunt when we were in Florida. He wanted... No, not just wanted. He said he thought he needed to have Josh Tholey along to catch R.A. Dickey. He didn't want to burden Russell Martin with that job. And his thinking was, look, we've got Russell Martin as much for his offensive skills and his brain as anything else. That brain can be best utilized catching Drew Hutchison, Aaron Sanchez, and Daniel Norris. I mean, to catch R.A. Dickey, then this sounds trite, and I don't mean it to sound. To catch R.A. Dickey, all you got to do is catch the freaking ball. Because you're either going to call for a knuckleball or a fastball. There's not a great deal of thought, as John Gibbons said, there's not a great deal of thought that goes into calling a game with R.A. Dickey on the mound. A lot more thought goes into the game when you're dealing with young kids. But clearly what Alex Anthopoulos, and Alex Anthopoulos told people very early in the process that he really wanted to take two catchers. Part of the reason is that as much as the Blue Jays have tried to work out a trade for Deonner Navarro, Alex believes that it's a lot easier to keep Deonner happy giving him that regular turn behind the plate. And my guess is you would probably see him catch Mark Burley because they worked together so well last year. It's a lot easier to keep Deonner Navarro happy, and you want him happy because you want that left-handed bat in the lineup, whether it's a DH or the days behind the plate. It's a lot easier to keep him happy by saying, hey, we have a job for you here. Yes, you're going to DH. You are the backup catcher, but you're the backup catcher with an asterisk here. You're the backup catcher except for the day that Mark Burley starts. Then you're the catcher. So I think there were a lot of things that went into that decision on the part of Alex Anthopoulos and John Gibbons. But make no mistake about it. In John Gibbons' perfect world, Josh Tholey is coming north with this team. So there you go. That is the Toronto Blue Jays roster. Mike Wilner, our Blue Jays radio voice and Sportsnet 590 The Fan, he'll be along in a few minutes. We'll take get his take on the Blue Jays 25-man roster, and Wilner and Joe Siddle will have the call of the game today. The Phillies and the Blue Jays at 1 p.m. at Sportsnet590.ca. Sean O'Sullivan on the mound for the Philadelphia Phillies, and Aaron Sanchez on the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays. Keep an eye on the Philadelphia Phillies and the Blue Jays. Alex Anthopoulos did go to scout a Phillies game last week. Wasn't to scout Jonathan Papelbon. But I'll tell you something. The Phillies need to make some moves. The Blue Jays are close to them in terms of proximity. Their minor league complexes are so close. I've often told people it's no surprise to see Phillies people or to see Pat Gillick over at the Blue Jays minor league complex. I mean, it just happens. Both organizations know each other really well. Of course, you have the tie between Alex and Pat Gillick. Keep an eye on those two teams. Anytime a move is up, it's a pretty good chance that those two teams have had some sort of conversation. So as we get set for Mike Wilner, let's talk about the Blue Jays roster. Josh Tolley will not be coming north with the team. Deonner Navarro, Russ Martin will be your catchers. Do you have the same concerns that John Gibbons expressed about Russ Martin catching R.A. Dickey? Remember what happened when J.P. Arencibia caught R.A. Dickey. The Blue Jays never recovered from that. J.P. Arencibia, quite frankly, never recovered from that. So, Russ Martin, it appears, is going to catch R.A. Dickey. Good idea, bad idea. 416-870-0590, *591-888-660-590. Join the conversation on social media. Use the hashtag Blair Show. My Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair. I will admit, I'm not a fan of this move if, as much as I think Josh Tolley is an offensive hole, I'm not a fan of this move if it's purely to carry eight relief pitchers. If it's a way of getting Ryan Goins in the lineup, then I'm cool with it. Or a way of getting Ryan Goins on the roster, then I'm cool with it. I can live with that. No, I more than live with that, I'm okay with that. I want Ryan Goins on the roster. But if this is to bring eight relievers north, I'm sorry. 416-870-0590, *590, *888-660-590. Todd, you're on Sportsnet 590, the fan.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, man.
I hope Goins comes as the 25th man. I don't like an eight-man bullpen. And I like the fact that Martin's going to catch Dickey to start at least, because I think Gibbons has an early hook with R.A. Dickey. I hate, you know, the sixth inning is always a rough inning for him, sixth, seventh, you know, the third time around. You know, he gets hit a couple times, gets two or three men on base, and Gibbons comes out and pulls him. And he's a guy who wants to start what he finished, and I think they're going to leave him in if, Russell, he trusts Russell, and I think that they're going to keep him, he's going to be able to finish what he started, and I like that.
Yeah, again, people's concern about having Russ Martin catch R.A. Dickey, and when I say people, it's catchers. It's Buck Martinez, it's Greg Zahn, it's Joe Siddle, it's John Gibbons, it's guys who've done it. It's not can Russ Martin catch the ball. It's how much wear and tear is that going to put on the guy's body. And this is the guy you're looking at. He's going to be your number two hitter. You want this guy as an offensive player. This isn't a catcher batting ninth we're talking about. This is a guy who's going to be an important offensive component. And there are reasons that people have concerns, people who've caught have concerns with it. As I said, J.P. Arencibia is nowhere near the defensive catcher Russ Martin was. But go back and look at that game here at the Rogers Center. The three pass balls. I mean, J.P. Arencibia never recovered from that. And that doesn't, I'm not saying that because of that, J.P. Arencibia turned into a strikeout machine. But that was when the bloom fell off the rose with J.P. Arencibia. Russell Martin, yeah, he's a much superior defensive catcher. And I'm not forecasting passed balls all over the place. But I'll tell you a story. I want to say it was the second day pitchers and catchers had the pitchers and catchers were in camp. And Russ Martin was catching R.A. Dickey. And they were just throwing the ball back and forth. They were just warming up, throwing the ball back and forth. Buck Martinez saw this. Buck Martinez went up to Russ Martin and said, you may want to wear a mask when you're doing that. Martin looked at him, and it's not a bullpen session. And Buck said, you may want to wear a mask. Because he was concerned that playing catch with R.A. Dickey, when R.A. Dickey unleashes a knuckleball, he didn't want to see the ball bounce off the glove and hit Russ Martin in the face. Now, talking about guys with a lot of accumulated experience behind the plate in the majors, guys who have a little more sensitivity to these things than you or I do. I'm just throwing that out there. There's a lot of concern on the part of people who've caught. Jimmy in North York, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff, how are you? You know what, I don't think that you can compare Martin and Aaron Sebia. I think even if it goes bad for Martin, he'll be fine. You know, and the other thing that I think you got to look at is that it probably will be Navarro getting Burley most of the time because those two were very, very effective for most of last year.
Right.
And I think you're going to see Russell Martin get two or three Dickey starts, and if it doesn't work out, I think you might see Tolley come up for a start. And I think Josh Tolley's going to get a lot of bus mileage this year. Personally,
you think he's going to? I hope he has a Nexus pass.
Yeah,
I hope he has a somebody get Josh Tolley a Nexus pass, so he can just go through the lane.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really anytime that the Jays are making a roster move because of an injury or something, and Dickey's up within the day or two, you're going to see Josh Tolley on the bus quite often.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. Look, this doesn't mean that Josh Tolley's never going to be up here. I tend to agree with Jimmy. I tend to think that we'll probably see him up here a little bit. And again, my point is, I don't really have any problem with two catchers. As I said, it's going to keep DeAndre Navarro happy. I think DeAndre Navarro, as I've said often, DeAndre Navarro has more value to this team, to the Blue Jays, than to any other team in baseball. Especially with Michael Saunders not back. You need that switch hitting bat. You need that left-handed bat. You just need the threat of the left-handed bat. The implied threat of the left-handed bat. So I'm okay with that. I just don't know if I like doing this because of eight relievers. Like, Barry Davis, by the way, on Twitter. I'm going to retweet it right now. Watch how I do this. Boom. There you go. Alex Anthopoulos says they're not locking down the pen due to the fact a number of arms could become available the next few days. So there you go. Alex Anthopoulos saying they're not locking down the pen due to the fact a number of arms could become available the next few days. Guys out of options. Guys who are let go. Jeff and Aurora, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jeff, just wondering, has Double A ever considered exploring a trade option with Dickey? This guy seems like a high maintenance pitcher. I mean, you got to keep Tolley with you. It just seems a lot of high maintenance for a guy is he over 40? Is he almost 40 or so? I'm not sure.
He's close to it. I don't know if he's over 40. I mean, you know what? We keep hearing, we heard in the off season that there was talk about moving R.A. Dickey. Thank God they didn't. Thank God they didn't with Marcus Stroman going down. Where the hell are you going to get 200 innings? Is he high maintenance? He's a knuckleball pitcher. He's got a trick pitch. It's a goofy pitch. It puts a lot of pressure on a manager. It forces a manager's hand. It forces the general manager's hands in some instances. It's 200 innings. And with all due respect, thank God they didn't move R.A. Dickey. He'll be your starting pitcher. You're going to have Mark Burley, Aaron Sanchez, Drew Hutchison, Daniel Norris, and somebody else. Robin Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hello, Jeff. I'd like to talk to you about the Boston Red Sox when they had Tim Wakefield and how much they worked to protect Veritek from injury and other things. I think they traded for Mirabelli a couple of times to make sure that Veritek didn't get hurt, and it seemed to work out rather well for them. And I think it's a very good idea that the Blue Jays should follow.
Yeah, that and that. It's funny you mentioned that. That's exactly the. Thanks for the call. Mirabelli was one of the names that was brought up when people like Buck Martinez were talking about just the necessity of having that guy. And again, I'm just erring on the side of the guys who've caught. I'm erring on the side of guys who've caught. And as I've said, it was on this show, John Gibbons, a conversation with myself and Stephen Brunt when we were in Dunedin. He was very clear about what he thought was the importance of having that guy to catch a knuckleball. But of course, you're right. It's early in the season. Perhaps Josh Tolley gets called. It doesn't work out with Russ Martin. You can always call Josh Tolley up. And my concern would be Russ Martin getting hurt. 416-870-0590. 888-666-0590. Rocky and Markham, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I'm a little bit concerned, but not too concerned, because Russell Martin's actually one of the best defensive catchers in baseball, right? So, and I think he's going to make a big difference with that starting rotation. And at the same time, I think Martin will adjust, and I think it's going to take some time because R.A. Dickey is the only knuckleballer in baseball right now. And
but the problem is they don't have time.
Right.
They can't afford to lose R.A. Dickey's first two starts because the ball's getting by the catcher.
Right. I understand. I would expect to see Tolley to come up if things don't work out between Russell Martin and R.A. Dickey. And if you have Rob Manfred next time, do you think you could ask him something about Pete Rose's Hall of Fame status?
Yeah, he's been pretty clear about that he is open to discussing it. I mean, he's been very clear. We had him for 10 minutes. I wasn't going to ask him about Pete Rose because he's been very clear. By the way, Shai Davidi on Twitter, AA says Dion Vicieto opted out and is headed to free agency. So there you go. Dion Vicieto has opted out of his contract. He's headed to free agency. No serious loss as far as I'm concerned to the Blue Jays. So if you go around the horn right now with the Blue Jays, it'll be opening day. Kevin Pillar, Dalton Pompey, Jose Bautista, Josh Donaldson, Jose Reyes, Devin Travis is the starting second baseman, according to John Gibbons. Justin Smoke would be at first base. Well, Smoke, Edwin, at first base. First baser, DH, and Russ Martin behind the plate. Drew Hutchison on the mound. It's your starting lineup. Mike Wilner is the Blue Jays radio voice on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, you know Mike Wilner. He and Joe Siddle will have the call of the game this afternoon at 1 o'clock on Sportsnet 590.ca. Sean O'Sullivan on the mound for the Philadelphia Phillies against Aaron Sanchez on the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays. The Blue Jays on the verge of leaving Florida. They'll go to Montreal, play a couple exhibition games, and it's off to the Bronx, off to Yankee Stadium, to play the Yankees on April 6th. Mike Wilner will join us, and Alex Anthopoulos Senior VP of Baseball Operations, General Manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. He'll be along at 11:35. Lots of baseball talk ahead. It's a Jeff Blair Show. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Don't let me down.
All right, we're back. Don't forget, by the way, today, 1-4, Brady and Walker back in the air yesterday. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360. That'll be after Hockey Central at noon. Hockey Central, Millard, Kiprios, McLean. They'll have Gerard Gallant, head coach of the Florida Panthers. And it's going to be really cool. This guy's done a terrific job for a couple of years now. John Cooper, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning. He will join Hockey Central in studio. So you do not want to miss that. That guy is... he's one hell of a coach. When you think of what he's done with that team the past couple, especially last year when they didn't have Steven Stamkos, that's a great get by the guys. So again, Hockey Central at noon, Millard, Kiprios, and McLean. 12:15, Gerard Gallant, head coach of the Florida Panthers. 12:35 in studio, John Cooper, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And of course, the Tampa Bay Lightning will be at the Air Canada Center tonight to play the Maple Leafs. Leafs Nation post game with Stellick and Osborne. Sorry, tomorrow night, they're at the Air Canada Center. Brett, can you check that? I've got two things down here. Leafs are at the Sabres Wednesday night in Sportsnet Ontario. It's Leafs Lightning tonight. So you're telling me that this thing here is wrong. Leafs Lightning tonight, Leafs are at the Sabres tomorrow. That'll be Wednesday on Sportsnet Ontario. And against Stellick and Osborne. We'll have a Leafs Nation postgame. The Toronto Blue Jays have effectively set their roster. Mike Wilner, Blue Jays radio voice and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Follow him on Twitter. His Twitter handle's at Wilnerness 590. If you're not following him already, I don't know what's wrong with you if you're a Blue Jays fan. Mike Wilner is on the scene in Dunedin, the Philadelphia Phillies and the Toronto Blue Jays. Get it going today at 1 o'clock on Sportsnet590.ca. Sean O'Sullivan for the Phillies. Aaron Sanchez for your Blue Jays. Wilner, Joe Siddle with the call. Mike Wilner joins us now on the Jeff Blair Show. Michael, any surprises this morning from the general manager and the manager?
Yeah, I think so. I think the surprise is that they're still kind of hemming and hawing about Castro and Asuna. And I don't think that there's validity to that, but then Alex Anthopoulos was asked about what do you do with Asuna if he doesn't make the team, and it seemed like there was a real well-thought-out plan that he's going to be a starter down here in Dunedin where the weather is more reliable than in New Hampshire or in Buffalo. And he was talking about it for a little while, like, oh, he's really actually considering this. So Asuna may not make the team. He wouldn't confirm that Castro has made the team. But they're not really confirming anything about the bullpen because they're looking at potential trades, potential adds, minor league free agents, guys who have just, Paul Mahalam and Julius Chassin are free agents now, and they weren't yesterday, or Chassin's been for a few days. But there are things that could change. I don't see any scenario in which Miguel Castro doesn't make this team, but that was the surprise for me. As far as the position players went, I was pretty confident I had them in the
right
list of 13 or 11 that I 12 that I sent out last night.
What do you think was the thing that ultimately swayed the decision to go with two catchers? Because John Gibbons was on this show with Stephen Brunt and myself last week, and he was very clear that he thought Josh Toley had to go north with the team, and that clearly hasn't transpired. What do you think that came down to?
I think it came down to the inability to get a good return for Deonor Navarro and the realization that, you're dealing with an Edwin Encarnacion with a wonky back, and Navarro's a pretty good backup plan to have.
Yeah.
you know, not that he's going to replace Edwin's bat as well, but you've got at least this major league ready player who you know can hit a bit in the big leagues, and in case you need that, in case Justin Smoke fails, you've got that backup plan. And you know, how many times last year and the year before did we talk about how thin the Blue Jays bench was, and how it's just kids there with no experience or these little Punch and Judy hitters, and now you've got a legitimate major league bat on your bench and a switch hitter too. I still think that if they could have moved Navarro, they would have.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're still engaged in some of those discussions. But for now, having optioned out Toley, they're committed to DeHonor Navarro for at least the first 10 days of the season.
Mike, is it apparent to you that the combination will be Burley and Navarro? Have John Gibbons and Alex Anthopoulos actually come out and said that is how that is going to work?
No, and I asked John Gibbons that exact question this morning, and he wouldn't confirm.
Okay.
You know, he said that Russ Martin, he'd love to get 130 games out of him, and, you know, you can't ask catchers to catch 150 anymore. Well, that leaves 32, and that's the number of starts that one starting pitcher is going to get. I think with Russell Martin, we know that Navarro is not going to catch R.A. Dickey, and we know you want Martin behind the plate for the kids. And the kids aren't just Norris and Sanchez. Drew Hutchison's 24 years old. So it makes all the sense in the world that the day off that Russell Martin's going to get, assuming he stays healthy and assuming, you know, there aren't a little nagging injuries here and there, is the day that Mark Burley pitches.
In conversation with Mike Wilner on the Jeff Blair Show, did as we go around the lineup right now with this team, how do you feel about this team, Mike, right now? We're looking at Pilar, Pompey, Batista, Donaldson, Reyes, Travis. Devin Travis has been named the starting second baseman. I would guess it would be Smoke at first base, yep, at the opener.
Smoke and Valencia in a platoon.
In a platoon, yep. And then Edwin as a DH, and Navarro, Edwin / Navarro as a DH. And Martin behind the plate. What do you make of this team?
Yeah, I wouldn't say Edwin / Navarro as the DH. I think Navarro on the bench.
Okay.
Edwin's the DH. I think that, honestly, I think it's the most talented team in the division, top to bottom. When you look at everything, and I think it could be really, really good, but it won't take much for things to go off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
With all the talk about all the kids and all the rookies, and they could very well start with six rookies, you still have this veteran core of amazing players like Batista. Batista, Encarnacion, and Donaldson is one of the best 3-4-5s ever assembled in Major League history. And I say that without a word of hyperbole in there. They are three phenomenal players. They could hit 125 home runs between them. They could all have OPSs over 950. Now, these are incredible, incredibly talented offensive players. And that mitigates a lot of the issues with the rookies. Jose Reyes, say what you will about his defense last year, he's still the best OPS in the league among shortstops, and he's an elite-level leadoff man.
Mm-hmm.
This is an extraordinarily talented team, and I think they're going to be top three in the major leagues in runs scored. They just have to pitch enough, and they have to get enough good stuff from the bullpen to not blow leads late. And you know, this is going to be a very, very good team, or at least this has a very good chance to be a very, very good team.
In conversation with Mike Wilner on the Jeff Blair Show, Mike, you were the first person I know of to write that not only would Drew Hutchison be the opening day first baseman, you were very clear, opening day starter. He could be the opening day first baseman. Actually, he was a good shortstop. I'm trying to cover my ass there. He was an okay shortstop.
They made a couple of very athletic plays on defense this spring.
Yes, thank you, Mike. Drew Hutchison does get the start at Yankee Stadium as the opening day starter. Talk to me a little bit about Drew. I mean, there's still something about opening day starter, right? It's still Roy Halladay, and you know, you still have that image. The opening day starter is kind of your best. You want to put your best foot forward and all that. Drew Hutchison has really, when you take a look at how far he's come in such a short time after Tommy John surgery, it's a pretty neat story, isn't it?
Yeah, he's been terrific. I mean, I you know, I don't think he's the best starter in the rotation, though he certainly has a chance to be when all is said and done. But I think this is less about, hey, Drew Hutchison's our best guy, and that's why he's starting opening day, than it is about we want to get Hutchison in there against the Orioles, we don't want to get Burley in there against the Yankees, and we want to have Norris in there against the Yankees to deal with all that those left-handed hitters and turn around the switch hitters. Mm-hmm. I think really that's what that's most of the story behind the opening day start. And Alex Anthopoulos said as much. He says, look, this is the only time where, you know, you can kind of, he likened it to an offensive coordinator scripting the first 10 or 12 plays of a football game. It's the same thing. You can line up the first three series of the year how you want them. And you, what do you want? You want Hutchison against Baltimore. You want Dickey against Tampa Bay. You don't want Burley against the Yankees. Mm-hmm. And that's how it'll work out in this arrangement. But the truth of the matter is, yeah, I mean, people forget Drew Hutchison was in the major leagues at 21 and pitching really, really well until his elbow exploded.
Yeah.
And then he came back, worked hard, had a better year than the numbers indicate last year. His slider finally came back in September, and he was third in the major leagues in strikeouts in the month of September. He had a great finish, and he definitely deserves to be near the top of this rotation. And, you know, opening day, it's not a it's certainly not, well, we're giving it to him because we don't have any better option, or mm-hmm. this is just how the way it works out. But I think he's going to be a very, very good starter for them this year.
He's
the youngest opening day starter, by the way, in franchise history.
Right. Daniel Norris had his last outing of the spring, or is he going to pitch in Montreal?
Pitch in Montreal. He'll start on Saturday.
Okay. What's your sense of where he is right now?
I think he's in a great place. And yesterday I thought was big for him because he got knocked around really badly over the first two innings and a bit. He gave up a couple of home runs, threw a wild pitch, walked a guy, and 11 batters in, he'd given up four runs on five hits, and the Blue Jays had a 3-0 lead after the top of the first, and he'd given it all back. But then, after he gave up that home run to lead off the third inning, he just kind of found his groove. He retired 11 of the next 12 batters he faced. He struck out five of the last six to end the game. And it really was a great turnaround against the starters for the Houston Astros for the most part. These weren't kids that he was picking apart. And I just talked to him right before I went on with you. I just talked to him, and he said, look, 2 years ago, that's two innings, and I give up six runs, and I'm out of there, and it's terrible. But I made an adjustment and bowed my neck and just went right back in it, and that was absolutely huge. And I think this whole spring has been huge for him. He's proven to himself that he can get major league hitters out. He's looked incredible, nothing like the kid that we saw in September who was throwing 91, 92. He's 96, 97 now, commanding both sides of the plate. He broke off a gorgeous curveball to strike somebody out last night, and he's working on this new sinking changeup. Alex Anthopoulos was just talking to us and said he thinks Daniel Norris could be one of the best pitchers in the league this year, it's spring and everybody's excited, and you feel maybe better about some of the talent than you should, but the truth is he is an incredibly talented young pitcher.
Mm. Mr. Wilner, it was great of you to do this. Thanks so much. I know it's a busy morning for you guys. Look forward to your work with Joe Siddall this afternoon, 1 o'clock, the Phillies and the Toronto Blue Jays. Aaron Sanchez on the mound for the Blue Jays, Sean O'Sullivan for the Phillies. Thanks again, Mike.
My pleasure, Jeffrey.
It's Mike Wilner, radio voice of the Blue Jays. One of our radio voices. We've got several radio voices, the Blue Jays. And again, Mike and Joe Siddall will have the call of the game at sportsnet590.ca. This afternoon at 1 o'clock will be the Phillies and the Toronto Blue Jays. We are getting close to real, honest-to-God, meaningful regular season baseball. Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager of the Blue Jays, he will join us at 11:35. We'll go over the Blue Jays roster with Alex Anthopoulos, maybe get a sense from him about the composition of the bullpen. It's pretty apparent from reading into the tweets I'm seeing and from talking to Mike Wilner that the Blue Jays bullpen will not be set until the team gets to New York. We're starting to get a sense that perhaps there are a couple of irons in the fire as far as that bullpen goes. But we'll talk to Alex Anthopoulos about that today. He'll join us at 11:35. When we come back, we're going to talk a little hockey. Eddie Olchuk of the NHL and NBC joins us. Bobby Taylor, Tampa Bay Lightning TV analyst. He'll be along as well. All that ahead in the Jeff Blair Show. Right up to Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.